He stopped, frowning at the salutation. What went below it? What exactly did he have to say? That he loved them? It was true, but it wasn't enough. There were all sorts of other unpleasant truths stuck through that central one, like steel needles jabbed into a ball of yarn. That he would miss them? He didn't know if that was true or not, which was sort of horrible. That he hoped they would miss him? He suddenly realized what the problem was. If he were planning to be gone just today, he would be able to write something. But he felt a near certainty that it wasn't just today, or this week, or this month, or this summer. He had an idea that when he walked out of the apartment this time, it would be for good. He almost crumpled the sheet of paper, then changed his mind. He wrote, "Please take care of yourselves. Love, Jay." That was pretty limp, but at least it was something. "Fine, now will you stop pressing your luck and get out of here?" He did. The apartment was almost dead still. He tiptoed across the living room, hearing only the sounds of his parents' breathing, his mother's soft little snores, his father's more nasal respiration, where every indrawn breath ended in a slim, high whistle. The refrigerator kicked on as he reached the entryway, and he froze for a moment, his heart thumping hard in his chest. Then he was at the door. He unlocked it as quietly as he could, then stepped out and pulled it gently shut behind him. A stone seemed to roll off his heart as the latch snicked, and a strong sense of anticipation seized him. He didn't know what lay ahead, and he had reason to believe it would be dangerous. But he was 11 years old, too young to deny the exotic delight which suddenly filled him. There was a highway ahead, a hidden highway leading deep into some unknown land. There were secrets which might disclose themselves to him if he was clever and if he was lucky. He had left his home in the long light of dawn, and what lay ahead was some great adventure. "If I stand, if I can be true, I'll see the rose," he thought as he pushed the button for the elevator. "I know it. And I'll see him, too." This thought filled him with an eagerness so great it was almost ecstasy. 3 minutes later, he stepped out from beneath the awning which shaded the entrance to the building where he had lived all his life. He paused for a moment, then turned left. This decision did not feel random, and it wasn't. He was moving southeast, along the path of the beam, resuming his own interrupted quest for the Dark Tower. 7. 2 days after Eddie had given Roland his unfinished key, the three travelers, hot, sweaty, tired, and out of sorts, pushed through a particularly tenacious tangle of bushes and second-growth trees and discovered what first appeared to be two faint paths, running in tandem beneath the interlacing branches of the old trees crowding close on either side. After a few moments of study, Eddie decided they weren't just paths, but the remains of a long-abandoned road. Bushes and stunted trees grew like untidy quills along what had been its crown. The grassy indentations were wheel ruts, and either of them was wide enough to accommodate Susanna's wheelchair.
"Hallelujah!" he cried. "Let's drink to it."
Roland nodded and unslung the water skin he wore around his waist. He first handed it up to Susanna, who was riding in her sling on his back. Eddie's key, now looped around Roland's neck on a piece of rawhide, shifted beneath his shirt with each movement. She took a swallow and passed the skin to Eddie. He drank and then began to unfold her chair. Eddie had come to hate this bulky, balky contraption. It was like an iron anchor, always holding them back. Except for a broken spoke or two, it was still in fine condition. Eddie had days when he thought the goddamn thing would outlast all of them. Now, however, it might be useful, for a while at least. Eddie helped Susanna out of the harness and placed her in the chair. She put her hands against the small of her back, stretched, and grimaced with pleasure. Both Eddie and Roland heard the small crackle her spine made as it stretched. Up ahead, a large creature that looked like a badger crossed with a raccoon ambled out of the woods. It looked at them with its large, gold-rimmed eyes, twitched its sharp, whiskery snout, as if to say, "Huh, big deal," then strolled the rest of the way across the road and disappeared again. Before it did, Eddie noted its tail. Long and closely coiled, it looked like a fur-covered bedspring.
What was that, Roland?
A billy bumbler.
No good to eat?
Roland shook his head. Tough. Sour. I'd rather eat dog.
Have you? Susanna asked. Eaten dog, I mean.
Roland nodded, but did not elaborate. Eddie found himself thinking of a line from an old Paul Newman movie. That's right, lady, eaten a man lived like one. Birds sang cheerily in the trees. A light breeze blew along the road. Eddie and Susanna turned their faces up to it gratefully, then looked at each other and smiled. Eddie was struck again by his gratitude for her. It was scary to have someone to love, but it was also very fine.